Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. You know, Thanksgiving is almost upon us, so we're getting ready for the holiday season today with noted critics Nell Minow and A.J. Hockery, who are here to discuss this year's holiday movie schedule. They'll share their picks for the most promising films opening during this season, as well as their all-time favorite holiday movies. Now, I hope that things have calmed down. They've both been in the chat room, and there's already been some argument, but that's kind of why we like to have the Movie Mom and the Mad Movie Man together, because they are not afraid to express their opinions. I hope they'll also recommend some DVDs that'll make cool stocking stuffers this year. Most of you know that Nell is the famous Movie Mom. She writes film commentary for BeliefNet and is the author of several wonderful books about movies. And AJ, you know he is the Mad Movie Man. He's contributed film reviews to various sites like Real Talk Movie Reviews, Review Express, Classic Movie Guide, and Terror Tube, plus his own popular movie blog, CineSlice, and that's capital S. No, it isn't, AJ. Now, don't worry. I'm going to get it right. Capital C-I-N-E, capital S-L-I-C-E. And I wanted to mention, before bringing Nell and AJ on, that the chat room is open, and we do appreciate listeners who sign up to participate, as well as all our other listeners, of course. And we also appreciate Nell and AJ for taking time to join us today. So let's bring them on now. Ladies first, as usual. Nell, are you ready to talk about holiday films?
I certainly am.
I thought you would be, and it's such fun to have you here with us. And, of course, the same goes true for Mad Movie Man. AJ, are you getting into the holiday spirit?
Betty Jo, I'm one of those guys who will tune up Christmas music in the middle of July because it does put me in a feel-good mood. But these days, it's more socially encouraged. So if I'm playing Jingle Bells in July, I usually get the dirty look. So I can do that nowadays and not live in fear of my life.
Well, I know what you mean. I'm kind of like that too, AJ. And I'm really sorry that you can't stay for the entire show today, but I know you could only be with us for about 20 minutes. But so let's get the let's get started by asking you the first question. Which are your five upcoming holiday films that you're looking forward to the most, and why?
All right, I picked five great-looking movies here, five pretty good-looking movies here. Most of them great, one kind of like, okay, this could go either way, but I'm interested in seeing how it looks. In no particular order, one of them is a new spooky movie called The Babadook. It's kind of about a mother and her son being beset by this evil spirit. I believe it's kind of like if you know its presence or if you're aware of it, like it will not go away. It'll hound you and cause all this mischief. I've had friends who've seen this movie already, and cause I believe it's an Australian movie, so I think it was released there first, who've seen it and say it is very spooky, very effective. Not exactly in the holiday spirit, but you know what? If any time of the year is a good time for a good spooky movie. And I hear this is a pretty good one. It sounds like it's got a really good kind of like urban legend type of hook to it, kind of like The Candyman or some of these like urban myth movies. So The Babadook, I'm interested in seeing that one. Next up is Unbroken, which from the trailer, you know, kind of looks like traditional like Oscar Beatty type movie where it's a story of, it's like set during World War II, and it's about a guy trying to survive in a former Olympian trying to survive in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and it's like the music is swelling and it's got all this imagery and it's about him trying to survive. Normally, I kind of would kind of roll my eyes at this, but there are two credits to this movie that make me a lot more interested, and that's the fact that it's directed by Angelina Jolie.
Even though I wasn't
a fan of her first movie, In the Land of Blood and Honey. I didn't care for that one all that much. But I am interested in seeing how this goes. It looks like she's got a good handle on the drama and the action elements and the sentimentality. And I think she can handle it just fine. And it was written by the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen.
I know,
and it just kind of seems like, wait a minute. They wrote this movie? And it's like, even though like the kind of the last time I encountered that was when they wrote the script for Gambit, the kind of terrible caper comedy with Colin Firth, but the Coens are still my all-time favorite filmmaker, so anything with their name on it, I am definitely going to go see. So Unbroken is another one definitely want to see. Next up is American Sniper, the new Clint Eastwood movie. I wasn't the biggest fan of Jersey Boys earlier this year. I felt it was very flat, and it kind of crippled itself by taking the musical bio or the traditional dramatic biopic route instead of sticking more closely to its musical route. So Clint Eastwood kind of disappointed me there, but I saw the trailer for American Sniper, which is very simple. It only just gives you a bare idea of what's going on, but it was very intense and just kind of left me going like, oh wow. It had that kind of an impact on me. It's got Lee Sienna Miller in it, Bradley Cooper as the trailer says is the most deadly sniper in U.S. history. Looks like, and from what I've heard, it's a very intense experience. So I'm hoping the full movie will duplicate the feelings that I had during the trailer. I'm hoping for the best.
So you've got the Babadook, Unbroken, American Sniper, and two more.
Two more. The next one is a movie that I've been hearing a lot more great things. And especially considering what's been going on with all the civil unrest and in the world, especially the U.S., but just the world in general nowadays, it seems like this is a movie of great importance that will be coming out, and that's Selma, about Martin Luther King Jr. And I have heard almost nothing but praise for this movie. And I'm very interested in seeing it. Like I said, it's about Martin Luther King, and it's a movie that apparently, from what I've heard, does not shy away from the darkness that King and his followers and everyone who fought for civil rights back in the 50s and 60s went through. And it doesn't shy away from the suffering that they experienced, but that it still ends with a hopeful message and hope for the future that we can still turn this around, and has great faith in humanity. And it just sounds like an amazing movie. It's definitely one that I want to experience. And that's Selma. The next one, you could almost say it's my number one pick for the fall so far for anticipated movies. Although all of these five are ones I want to see, but I've watched the trailer for this one probably a good five times or so, just because it gives me the giggles, and that is Inherent Vice, the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It's a private eye kind of drama, caper, comedy. It's about Joaquin Phoenix. He's a washed-up, private eye, kind of a beach bum type guy who's thrown into this whole mess. And it looks like, it looks like a very, very lighthearted alternative, at least compared to Paul Thomas Anderson's last movie, which was The Master, which was incredibly intense and soul-bearing and dramatic. And here it looks like he's just having a lark, although I'm sure it'll still have its, substantial points to it. It won't just be a bunch of frivolous goofy lines and everything. But it does look like Paul Thomas Anderson's version of The Long Goodbye, stuff from the 70s.
Yeah.
The smart alecky private investigator. It's got the style and the comedy and the drama and the suspense. It looks like it's going to mix all of those things together into one pot. So Inherent Vice, really, really looking forward to this one.
Well, what an interesting list you have here. The Babadook, Unbroken, American Sniper, Selma, and Inherent Vice. Are any of these on your top five holiday films that you're most looking forward to now?
They certainly are. I'm especially excited about Inherent Vice. I've also watched the trailer several times. It has kind of an Elmore Leonard feel of crooks, colorful crooks betraying each other. It reminded me a little bit of an Elmore Leonard movie that came out this year. It didn't get much attention, called Life of Crime, with Jennifer Aniston. That's definitely worth a look. So Inherent Vice, anything Paul Thomas Anderson does is automatically interesting. He's got a sensational cast in this, and the trailer looks great. So I'm very, very excited about that. I'm also looking forward to Unbroken. And I hear that Jack O'Connell, who stars in it, in the real-life story of Louis Zamperini, who lived like three incredible lives, which each of one would be enough of an adventure for the ages. He was an Olympic athlete. He was shot down in World War II, and then he survived a Japanese prison camp. Sounds like an incredible story. I hear Jack O'Connell is really great, and so very much looking forward to that. And, of course, I'm looking forward to Selma as well. Interesting fact is that Carmen Ejogo, who plays Coretta Scott King, played Coretta Scott King once before in one of my favorite movies about the civil rights movement, called Boycott, with Jeffrey Wright as Martin Luther King. I highly recommend that one. And so here she is playing Coretta Scott King again. I'm not sure why we keep getting English people to play these American characters, but it's still a great cast. And Michael O'Yellow is fantastic. Looking forward to seeing him in that. I'm also looking forward to Big Eyes, the Tim Burton film about the amazing, crazy, true story of the Keens, a couple who were married and who became famous when the husband, played by Christoph Waltz, became an international success in selling paintings of these children with big eyes. They were sort of instant kitsch. And Woody Allen made fun of them in Sleeper. And it turns out, after his death, that he stole the paintings from his wife, played by Amy Adams. And that looks like a fascinating story. Anything Tim Burton does is automatically going to be interesting. So totally looking forward to that one. And then I'm also looking forward to Mr. Turner. Anything Mike Leigh does, I'm already on board for. He has a unique system of filmmaking where he and the actors improvise, even when it's based on history. And I love Timothy Spall, and he plays the real-life character Mr. Turner, who is one of the greatest artists in British history, and like all great artists, controversial. And that looks like a great film.
Oh my gosh! And you've got three of the same films. There should have been a drum roll or something. I don't think that there's been that much agreement between the Movie Mom and the Mad Movie Man since you've been coming on the show. Inherent Vice, Unbroken, Selma, all three on both of your lists. And then, of course, now you have Big Eyes and Mr. Turner. And going to mine, I have one. I also have Unbroken on my list, because of the same reasons, AJ, as you have on yours, the Coen brothers, but I don't want to miss any of their films. And I'm very curious. I didn't catch the first film that Angelina Jolie directed, so I wanted to see this one and see what kind of a director she is, because I've heard the rumor that she's thinking about going into directing and quitting acting entirely. So that's on my list. My first two most eagerly awaited, you are not going to be surprised at this at all, are Annie and Into the Woods. Musicals. And I absolutely can't wait to see Annie, because the number, which we saw last night on Dancing with the Stars, how do I say that, the little girl that plays Annie? Say it for me now.
Coventa Honey Wallace.
She plays Annie, and she and a bunch of the little orphans did one of the dances from the movie too, Hard Knock Life, and that's one of the numbers that I enjoyed most doing with the musical comedy troupe when I was a member. So I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait to see Jamie Foxx in the sort of, you know, Daddy Warbucks role, and also seeing Cameron Diaz do Miss Hannigan. that was done so well by Carol Burnett in the first Annie movie. So that's definitely number one on my list. Into the Woods, of course, I'm wanting to see because it's a musical, but also because Johnny Depp plays the wolf in it, the big bad wolf, and of course it's all about fairy tale characters. Meryl Streep is also in it, and I think it's directed by Rob Marshall, who has a pretty good record doing musicals. Then the other two are Exodus, Gods and Kings, because I love Ridley Scott movies and Christian Bale, and I think we need, all of us need a nice big epic for a holiday film, so I'm putting that on my list. And then this movie is just getting so much hype. I'm just so curious to see it, and I think it opens on November 28th, so I don't have long to wait. The Imagination Game with Benedict
Imitation.
Cumberbatch. Yeah.
The
Imitation Game, I mean. Thank you very much. And I'm imagining that I will like it, I guess.
It's great. You will like it. It's
You've already
terrific,
seen it?
But
You've
very sad,
it?
Yes. Yeah.
And
I've also
recommend
seen
it.
I've also seen 40 Minutes from Exodus, and I was very impressed. I came into it with some skepticism, but I have to say I was very impressed.
Oh, great. Okay, well, that's making me even more eager. So, well, dear listeners, I hope you have some idea of some of the movies opening this holiday season that you'll put on your list to try and see. And we've only got about five more minutes of you, AJ. So we're going to go to the all-time favorite holiday films because we did promise our listeners that we would give those out. So go ahead, AJ. What are your top five holiday films? And we want to make sure we get your picks before you leave.
Alrighty, my top five holiday movies of all time. Number one has got to be A Christmas Story, which is my just favorite film of all time, period. I've talked about this to no length on your show, or yet to just infinite length on your show. I wrote a review for Real Talk Reviews. I even collect multiple formats of this movie. I have like two Laserdiscs. I have a Betamax version of this movie. I don't have a player, but I've got the seal, the Betamax. I just like it on the shelf. It's just a sweetheart of a movie. It is the movie that, more than any other that I've ever seen, did precisely what it set out to do just so perfectly and almost flawlessly. It's a movie I can watch over and over and never get tired of. I also pick It's a Wonderful Life, which up until just a few years ago I had never seen. And then I watched it, and then I'm like, oh, all the wasted years, because it is an intensely dramatic movie. It's about a guy who, about the big nicest guy you could ever know, kind of like pushed to the breaking point, suffering all these setbacks in life, and who's taken back from the edge of darkness by realizing all the good he has accomplished and how much he means to all the people in his life. And it is just so incredible. My next one would be Home Alone, which is just a great, just a nostalgic comedy. The sequels definitely got carried away with the wisecracking humor and the over-the-top traps and everything, but the original Home Alone still has that sweetness to it. It still has that kind of sentimental edge where it's it makes you feel good instead of it just being comic violence, and then, importance of family, blah, 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 and just kind of throw that at the end. So the first Home Alone, it has that slapstick humor and everything, but it still feels very genuine. My next one would be it's an unconventional choice, but it's the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Which is one of their great holiday episodes where they just kind of take on the one of the weirdest Christmas movies ever made, where Martians kidnap Santa Claus to make their kids feel better about themselves, and I just have a good time watching them just kind of make fun of the cheapness of it, the robot with the coffee can head, or the kids being chased by a polar bear that is just so obviously a guy in a costume, it is just not even funny. But it's one I enjoy popping in all the time. I know I had made a list, Betty Jo, of the, just in case I wouldn't be able to make it here, I had made a list of the five holiday movies, but I can't remember the fifth one that I put. Do you have that list on you?
I do, and I think it's an interesting How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated.
Yes, the animated version, which I know there's a lot
one,
of people.
Mr. Grinch.
With the one and only Boris Karloff narrating and providing the voice of the Grinch. I know there's a lot of kids out there today who grew up with the Jim Carrey version, and, you know, I'm glad it means something to you. I was like 15 when I watched it, so I was a little old for it, and it's kind of garish and over the top and just does not have the simple charm that the original version does. It is just so sweet and so simple, and it's to the point. The songs are memorable. The animation is lovely. And then my favorite actor of all time, Boris Karloff, creating a character who is, like, diabolical and menacing, but you can't really hate him. So when he does eventually redeem himself, your heart grows three sizes, too. So the Grinch Stole Christmas, that's a great one. And with that, Betty Jo, I have to bow out. It has been a pleasure being on your show, as always.
Well, we love it when you're here, and have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking together with you on Movie Addict Headquarters later. And thanks again for all your support and help, AJ. So take care.
Thanks, AJ.
Absolutely. Have a great Thanksgiving, you guys.
You too.
Thank you. Well, Nell, how about that list from AJ? Anything on your list of the...
Sure. That was a great list. You know, we've talked about this before, and I would happily make a list of my top five would all be different versions of my favorite Christmas story, which is A Christmas Carol. And I have done this before. I have said, all right, here are my top five versions of A Christmas Carol, starting with the one with Alistair Sim, and then the MGM version, and the Patrick Stewart version, and the Muppet version, and, of course, the Mr. Magoo version. So those, we'll just use them as item one on my list.
Okay.
But A Christmas Carol is far and away my favorite, and I watch it many times every year. I also love some of the other movies that AJ mentioned, including A Christmas Story, which I think has got the sweetest last scene of any holiday movie. It's wonderful. But I like to recommend Wonderful, and of course It's a Wonderful Life. That's a great classic, and where I grew up in Chicago, they would show it for 24 hours, and you could just keep watching it and watching it. But I like to recommend movies that people might not know about, so I'm going to recommend a couple of other ones. I think that a really good Christmas movie is The Nativity Story, starring Oscar Isaac. They just announced this week that he will be the bad guy in the new X-Men movie. He's also in the new Star Wars movie. But this was his first role, and he played Joseph in The Nativity Story, which is beautifully done, by directed by Catherine Hardwicke and with Keisha Castle Hughes from Whale Rider. And it's just a lovely reminder of what Christmas is all about. I also am a big fan of the original Grinch, but I want to recommend Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas. This is the guy who invented the California raisins, and he did a Christmas special, which is hilarious, and it has the funniest ever performance of Carol of the Bells. And then I'm very fond of, I'm going to say two more, This Christmas, which is a great, there is a long tradition of Christmas movies about families coming home and having various confrontations and secrets being revealed and all of that. This is one of the best in that category with Loretta Devine. The Divine Loretta Devine is the mom and her kids, including Idris Elba and Chris Brown. And I try to watch that every year. I love that one. And then Desk Set, the first Tracy Hepburn movie to be filmed in color. And before Google, they had actual human beings that you would call and say, what are the names of the reindeer again? And Katharine Hepburn plays a person who has that job as the first ever computer was being installed in her Office by Spencer Tracy. So that is, of course, a match not made in heaven until it is. And that is a classic, wonderful, wonderful movie.
It is. Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned some of these movies that I don't even know about, because that I'm going to make sure that I are these available, like the Claymation Christmas, is that available on Netflix?
It is, and it's also some parts of it, including the Carol of the Bells, are available on YouTube, and also you can see it on my website. So, yeah, you definitely want to see that. It's only about 2 minutes long, and it is so funny.
Oh, and I really am happy that you talked about the Nativity story, because I was very impressed with Oscar Isaac in that movie, and I reviewed the Nativity story, and I think I'm so glad it's on your list, because it's so beautifully done, and I'm so glad that Oscar Isaac is getting so many roles. I liked him very much in a film that was released this year that isn't getting much attention, but I thought it was such an elegant thriller. It's called The Two Faces of January with Ed Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Isaac, and I believe it was Kirsten Dunst. And it's not on my list as a holiday movie or anything, but since we were talking about Oscar Isaac, I thought I would.
He's good in everything. He's got another movie coming up in December called A Most Violent Year, and he is just great in everything. He gave my favorite performance of last year in Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, I remember. You were on the show and really, really raved about him. And so he's definitely an up-and-comer. Well, I have a couple of similar choices this time. Of course, A Christmas Story, which, again, you don't need to say very much about A Christmas Story, because AJ and you have said it all. But I would recommend reading AJ's review of A Christmas Story over on realtalkreviews.com, because it's really a terrific review, and you'll enjoy reading it if you're fans of A Christmas Story, and it really is one of AJ's best reviews, and that's saying quite a lot. Then I have The Muppet Christmas Carol, and you said that... Well, that's lumped in with all your Christmas Carol films, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
The Muppet Christmas Carol, honestly, every time I watch that, I just get so happy. And Michael Caine, I mean, what a Scrooge. He's my favorite Scrooge of all
He is great.
He plays it
I
like
I have to recommend one more Christmas Carol, though. The Disney Christmas Carol with Scrooge McDuck as Scrooge.
Oh,
and Mickey
yeah.
And Bob Cratchit. It's also very good.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. And then talk about a wonderful family movie and a musical, which, of course, you know I go for.
It's your favorite. Right?
Meet Me in St. Louis. Now, you don't get the Christmas until, you know, I mean, kind of sad little scene there with the singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. But it's such
a
terrific family. Yeah, it does end happily, and it's such a glorious family film, and so that's on my list. And I also have Elf on my list, kind of for the same reason that I have The Muppet Christmas Carol, because it's just so funny and delightful. I mean, an adult thinking that he's an elf and dressing up like an elf, and Will Ferrell doing it, and it was just he was just delightful in that. That's kind of my favorite Will Ferrell performance. And I love the scenery in it, and I thought James Caan did a very good job as the kind of reluctant father of Will Ferrell. And lastly, but certainly a wonderful film, Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of a miracle film, because it has so many people in it, so many characters. How in the world did they put them all together and get you to care about all of these people in the short time of a movie? Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, Bill Nye, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley, Liam Neeson, and I don't think I've said, you know, all of them that were in it. And it's
she would allege
it
for.
Exactly. I forgot about him. Just, I mean, and then the guy that's in The Walking Dead, that has the lead role in Walking Dead, was was in it too. Laura Linney, wow. I guess I didn't have her down. I mean, you could just go yeah. On. And everyone that appeared, you just, you know, they just were able to get you to care about them. And romance was all around, and love was all around in Love Actually. So those are my favorite. What about any DVDs that you can recommend that could be used for stocking stuffers this year? Do you have some recommendations? I mean, these could be family recommendation for families, or you know, for various ages, because you do such a good job of putting us on the right track for those kind of films.
Well, the one piece of advice I always start with for parents is that the best possible series for kids. And, of course, we're talking about children over the age of 3 or 4. I don't believe in any screen time of any kind, and that includes iPads and iPhones for children under 2 and under, and that's what the Pediatricians Association recommends as well. Mm-hmm. But for kids who are older, there's no question that the very best series for kids is the Scholastic series. They take the best of children's literature. They have the best actors and musicians in the world bringing them to life, and anything that you get from the Scholastic series is just great. Mrs. Frizzle and the Magic School Bus, the complete series is out on DVD. That's a great one for kids as well. So those are two wonderful series to get kids hooked on.
Oh, yes. Did I get cut off?
No, I can hear you.
You're there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was writing all these down, okay. And I thought, there's going to be more. Okay. But those
No. No, I think those are the two that I had in mind, because I think they're kind of neglected. And, of course, you know, the classics, the great thing about kids is it's new to them. So, you know, there's a beautiful 75th anniversary edition of Wizard of Oz that came out this year. I always recommend Yellow Submarine. I think that's a fantastic movie for kids. There are some great new Diamond Edition of the Disney classics, including Sleeping Beauty. And those are wonderful things for families to share together.
Oh, I think so. Wizard of Oz, yeah, that never gets old. And I'm thinking about a DVD of the Polar Express, too,
mm-hmm.
for kids. That might be a good thing to think about.
Well, that one, I think the book is better than the movie, but okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't read the book, but I just was spellbound by the movie and,
good.
You know, by the animation and the look of the movie. But listen to what AJ has left for us.
Okay.
He says, for the snarky and sarcastic comedy fans in your family, there's no greater gift than any of the Rift Tracks, that's RIFFTRAX, holiday DVDs. My personal favorite is their Christmas Shorts Extravaganza, although I also got a big kick out of their Santa's Village of Madness DVD. And seeing them take down what's maybe the worst Christmas movie of all time, Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny. Are you aware of any of these?
Well, Rift Tracks are wonderful. These are the people that used to do Mystery Science 3000, and their commentary on movies is hilarious. So I highly recommend them.
So you would go. You would. You're not going to poo-poo these recommendations
not at all.
from AJ. I think they're
perfect
just makes
gift
me
for,
want to be
for
a,
teenagers.
Yeah, it makes me want to be a kid again when I see. when I hear about all these. Well, let's take a minute here, Nell, to listen to a couple of messages from two of our loyal listeners.
Hi, comedian Nancy Lombardo here, host of Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. And when I need my movie fix, you'll know where I'll be found. That's right, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., listening to Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Addict Headquarters Blog Talk Radio. Show me the funny, Betty. Show me the funny.
You're listening to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker. She's the real deal in what's happening on film. And if you're not real careful, you might hear the confessions of a movie addict. So get your popcorn and stay right there in your seat for Movie Addict Headquarters. And now back to our feature.
Thanks, Nancy and Steve, for those fun promos. And, dear listeners, please check out Nancy's very funny Comedy Concepts show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Friday and Monday morning at 10:30 Eastern Time. Also, be sure to check out the Mom and Pop Shop radio show on Dreamstream Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's very entertaining because the host just happens to be Mr. Showbiz himself, George Bettinger. And don't forget about all the wonderful, diverse shows on the Wacko Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, Nell, why don't we go back to the favorite movies of all times for the holidays? And I was wondering if you have any all-time favorite performances from holiday films that you'd like to mention. And AJ did leave me his recommendations on that, too.
Well, the reason that I like the 1951 version of Christmas Carol is that Alistair Sim, one of my favorite actors, a fabulous British actor, is so perfect as Scrooge before, during, and after his visits from the three ghosts. And so I love that one. And, of course, I love Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. And I love Darren McGavin in A Christmas Story. So those are three of my favorites.
And we all agree on Darren McGavin in A Christmas Story, because that's one of my picks as the best
old
performance.
Man.
Yes, yes, yes. He was just absolutely terrific in that. And I just don't think that they could have gotten anyone to do that as brilliantly as Darren McGavin did in A Christmas Story. So we all three picked Darren McGavin. I also have Judy Garland in Meet Me in St. Louis, but consider
one.
The source, because I'm such a fan of Judy Garland's.
Well, I would all she, are.
And she just, I mean, she just warms my heart whenever I see her. And her singing that Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is just, you know, kind of burned in my brain, and it's just so haunting and so beautiful. And I, of course, I had already mentioned Michael Caine and how great I thought he was in The Muppets Christmas Carol. And also I just want to mention Edmund Gwenn in The Miracle on 34th Street, the first one. I mean, he's just the sweetest, most lovable Santa Claus that's ever been played on the silver screen.
He got an Oscar for that.
Yes, he did. I forgot about that. He did get an Oscar.
That is a brilliant movie. I absolutely love that movie. And Natalie Wood deserved an Oscar, too. And so did Maureen O'Hara. That is a fantastic movie.
I think you're right about that. They were all so great in that. And, of course, that particular version was so superior to the to the remake, that I'm always careful to make sure that when I'm recommending it that I say it is the early version with Maureen O'Hara and Edmund Gwenn.
Oh, absolutely. Don't go near the later versions.
why monkey around with perfection, which is what they had.
Right.
Two other performances that AJ mentioned here in the material that he left me. Well, actually, it's one other actor, and this is a strange one. He says, although Die Hard isn't a quote-unquote Christmas movie, it is set during the holidays, and Bruce Willis's wisecracking hero set the stage for a whole new generation of how action movie leads looked and acted. So that's kind of an interesting selection, but I did enjoy Bruce Willis very much in Die Hard, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely, and I always recommend that every year at Christmas. It's a great one. I want to recommend another neglected gem that people forget about, but that is a beautiful Christmas story with gorgeous performances by Loretta Young and Celeste Holm as nuns in Come to the Stable, and a beautiful Christmas story.
Come to the Stable.
And they are both just luminous in it.
I just agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm always so pleased when you and AJ come on the show to talk about holiday films, because it's my favorite time of the year. A lot of people feel the same way, and I really get excited about the films, and so many of the holiday films offer hope and such enchantment and delight that it just, as I said before, warms my heart. Now, what have you been up to? We've got time. I mean, the time has gone by fast, but we do have time for you to talk about what you've been up to, new books that you're working on, any projects that you'd like to mention.
Well, I am going to be doing in 2015 a third edition of the Movie Mom's Guide, so I'm reworking it all and looking forward to getting that out next year.
Oh, I'll look forward to it too. And did you ever do a book on movies, about movies?
I have somebody writing that for me. I've got a little publishing company, and I have a terrific critic who's working on that. And that is definitely something I'm really, really excited about, because there are so many good choices.
I love that topic, and maybe we can do a Movie Addict Headquarters show about that when you're ready, okay?
That'd be great. We can have him come on, too. He's terrific.
Exactly. That's my thought. Well, we'll look forward to that. And I see our time is almost up, so I want to wrap things up now and give a big shout out to Nell Minow and AJ Hockery for being such terrific guests again, and to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support. Special thanks to Nikki, who couldn't be here, but she sends her best wishes to everyone, and also to our chatters and other listeners. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Please come back next time for Two Christmases Revisited, starring Mr. and Mrs. Showbiz, George and Lizette Bettinger, from the Mom and Pop Shop radio show. It's a wonderful way to start the month of December, so be sure to listen in either live or to the archives. Well, that's all for now, folks. I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving, and let's go out with a tune that always puts me in a holiday mood. And this tune was featured in Love Actually, which is one of my favorite holiday movies. This isn't the version there, but it's really a good one.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.